Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This is Writers on Film, the only podcast dedicated to books on cinema. Hello everybody and welcome to Writers on Film. My name is John Bleasdale. I'm a writer and film critic, and today is a special episode. I have been to the Tromsø International Film Festival, which is right above the Arctic Circle. I went into the snow and ice, braved minus 20 temperatures, and saw the Northern Lights, which shimmered like a curtain of green magic above our heads. And if you don't believe me, I'll put a photograph on one of these tweets to promote this show so you can see it with your own eyes. It was amazing. It's the third time I've been to Tromsø. It's a wonderful festival. Such a friendly bunch of people organize it. Hugely enthusiastic about film. The audiences pack the theaters, partly perhaps because of that minus 20 degrees temperature I was telling you about. But I think the reason they pack the theaters in all seriousness is because there's such a genuine love of film in that area. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of cinemas there. They're all the screenings that I attended were packed, especially during the weekend. Things just sell out. On the way to the airport and the way back from the airport, the taxi driver was telling me what films they were planning on going to see, and as I returned to the airport, quite sadly, to leave, the taxi driver was telling me that they'd seen a German film called The Teacher's Lounge, which they particularly liked. And that's a good place for me to start, actually. I wanted to give some of the recommendations of the films which I saw at the festival. The Teacher's Lounge, which is Ilka Katak's film. It's a brilliant. This is the sort of thing that European cinema does very, very well. It's a kind of workplace drama. It has hints of The Class and Playtime. Playground, I think it was called. There have been a few of these films set around school and education. Young Ahmed was one by the Dardans, but I didn't see that, so I can't really comment. And this one follows a young teacher who is, at the very beginning of the film, seems very much in control of her class, very much a person who is very effective and a very popular teacher, or so it would seem. But there is a problem in the school with stealing, and as she negotiates some of the problems, she finds that the school isn't as perfect as she hoped, and her own ability to deal with some of the fault lines running through the school is not as complete as she wished it were. And it's a stunning performance by the lead actress, Leonie Benesch. It premiered at the Berlinale right at the beginning of the of last year, 2023, and is Germany's nominee for the Best Foreign Picture Award at the Oscars. So it's a film that's been around for a while, and it would be strange to say that it has been somewhat overlooked. It has, after all, been nominated for has been proposed as the Oscar, has been shortlisted for the Oscar, I should say. But it does feel like it hasn't quite broken through into an international audience. And this is a film that really, I think, could deserves to be seen by a lot more people. It manages to do that very interesting thing of creating a lot of tension without and a lot of drama without ever tipping over into melodrama and sort of dissipating that tension in a way which is hysterical, shall we say. That was a really good film that I saw at this festival, Tromsø. But what I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be talking to some of the people who organise the festival, and they're going to be giving me their opinions on the festival itself and some ideas of the highlights of the festival, and just giving you a picture of Tromsø in general.
Hello, everybody. I'm at Tromsø with John Christian Dalseth, and this is going to be the northernmost episode of Writers on Film. John Christian, thanks for agreeing to talk with me.
Happy to talk to you.
So, John, you're a programmer here at the film festival. How long? Tell us a little bit about the film festival here at Tromsø.
Well, we're the biggest film festival in Norway, per admissions. We've been doing this for 34 years. It's the 31st edition, and we're the northernmost, as you mentioned. And we have a wide variety of programmings of films from all over the world. And then we have a special focus on a sidebar called Films from the North, which focuses on the Arctic regions of Norway, Sweden, Finland, Canada, Russia, and Iceland as well. So, it's a wide variety that also includes shorts and documentaries.
Excellent. And I mentioned earlier that you're a programmer for the festival. So what is the sort of exciting films that you're looking forward to showing to audiences?
Well, I think this year it's quite eclectic mix, I think. And we have a very, the programming committee is a big staff. Not just at the festival, but we also have people that we know from around the world working with other film festivals and critics and stuff that give us tips and help us program and consult on the program. So it's a variety of stuff. But I think this year, one of my personal favorites that I seem to be the only one talking about is Hounds from Morocco, which I saw in Cannes, which I think is just fantastic. It's a debut film by Kamal Lazar. Is his name, I think, and it follows this father-son story in Casablanca, who are through a night of difficulties, and yeah, but it's a terrific film that I'm very excited that we're screening it this year.
Brilliant, excellent. I haven't seen that. I'll have to watch out for
it. You'll have to see that one. Yeah, it's a personal favorite of mine this year, definitely.
Excellent. And you said there's this sidebar about northern Arctic cinema. What is the cinema scene like? I mean, a lot of people won't necessarily have seen these films, or what's that scene? Is it quite vibrant?
I think so. Yeah, and it's ever growing. We're also always have a big focus on Sami films, and that's also something that is growing very much, not only in Norway but also in Sweden and Finland. And we have great collaborations with all the film institutes of these various countries, and that all contribute in sending us their best films of the year and all this stuff. And so the cinema scene, I feel, is vibrant, and also a part of what we're doing here as well, where we're sitting now at Verdensteater. You know, we're also one of seven cinematheques in Norway, so we also have these obligations to screen films from the National Archives, the National Library. So we're trying to keep that bit of the film scene alive as well. And I feel like it's pretty vibrant all over. I've been to similar festivals in Sweden, and we've been to Iceland last year. And it seems to be doing well, I think. It's quite vibrant, yeah.
Yeah, it's a sort of a growing scene, if you like.
Yeah, I think so. And it seems also that these like stories from the north, or whatever you want to call it, these focus areas that we have in particular, is also very visible in other major festivals. Like Toronto, for instance, is very much about these stories from these like northern, more like distant or far places of the world, if you want. Yeah,
and you mentioned where we are, where we're sitting right now. So I want to describe this place a little bit, because it's the oldest cinema in Norway.
Yes, it's the oldest still operating cinema in Norway. It was built in 1915, so it's coming up on its 110th year. And yeah, it was the city's main cinema for many, many years. And when they opened the multiplex, which is also run by the city, the municipality, the film festival, the Tromsø International Film Festival, was asked to take over this, running this cinema now as a cinematheque. So in addition to screening our own films that we program, we're also the venue for like the film societies, both for the regular film society and children's film society, and we're a place where independent filmmakers and distributors can come and screen their films. So we're trying to offer something that you don't get in the regular cinemas.
And also, you mentioned earlier that you have a silent film festival later in the year. Is that right?
Yes, in April we have our silent film days, which has been going now for 17 years, yeah, coming up on our 17th edition. So this is a festival that takes place over 4 or 5 days, where we have silent films with live music in the theater, and that's part of like keeping the heritage of the building alive. Obviously, when the city was built in 1915, it was built as a silent cinema, so the acoustics in the theater is very much set for this kind of screenings. So we screen films both digital, but also from 16mm and 35mm with live music. And then it's not just classical piano music, but we have everything from like hard rock music to electronic music and everything. So it's just trying to not reinvent, but make these films available for new audiences, you know, who silent films is not something that's very available at the moment, at least not in cinemas.
I went to a hard rock one last year, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's we try to have as many different genres as we can. So we have quite hard one with it, if it's rock or doom even. But then there's also some jazz, and there's like some pop music as well. So it's very interesting to challenge. Often we use musicians who have never composed film for silent film before. So that's also part of what we're trying to encourage the music scene in Tromsø, which is also very vibrant, to recognize this as a way to compose new music.
Excellent. Thanks so much, John Christian, for talking to me.
My pleasure.
One of the most interesting parts of visiting the Tromsø Film Festival is seeing the work of the Sami Film Institute. The Sami people are a indigenous population. They're a transnational people who stretch through parts of Finland, Norway, and Russia. And it was my absolute pleasure to speak to Anna Lyle of the Institute, and she will explain the Sami culture and her role much better than I can do. So without further introduction, I'll hand it over to that interview.
No worries. I'm really bad with names, so I won't be offended.
I've been going around Italy for the last 25 years being called Jon by so many people. It's like, John isn't that obscure an English name, but it's like, no, it's Jon.
That's the most polite thing they call it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not even going to translate the other stuff they say. Okay, so I'm very happy to be here in Tromsø with the head of the Sami Film Institute. I'd like you to introduce yourself, please, Anne-Lil.
Yeah, so my name is Anne-Laila Upsi.
Okay, say that one more time.
Anne-Laila Upsi.
Excellent, excellent. So that I was saying just before we started recording that my pronunciation wouldn't be up to it, and I didn't even get the first name right. So, so could you tell me your involvement in the Tromsø International Film Festival?
Well, Tromsø International Film Festival obviously is one of the most important festivals for us here up north, and it's a big international festival, and we've been collaborating with TIFF for many years, and now we are also like official partners, so we are of course pushing Sami films and talking about the importance of the indigenous perspective and also the Sami perspective, both in the screenings and the panels and talks and so it's a very important festival for us, obviously.
And so for some of our listeners, they will have a hazy idea of who the Sami are and their relationship to Norway. So could you just sort of clarify for us that relationship?
Well, the Sami people, we are the indigenous peoples of the Nordic countries, so Norway, Finland, Sweden, and also Russia. So we are living in a, like we say, in a borderless Sápmi. That's the area, our homeland. So it's, we don't see these national borders as others do.
Yeah, so it's a bit like a nation, a people, rather than a country as such.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And in your institute, you are promoting culture and you're promoting cinema specifically.
Yes, so to make a long story short, we started in 2009, some filmmakers, well, we had gone to film school, and we tried to fund our Sami films through the national film institutes in the Nordic countries, which was impossible at that time. So eventually, after many years, we had a festival, we established the International Sami Film Institute, because we thought that, okay, if nobody else wants to fund us, we will do it ourselves. So that was like the beginning of our institute. And since that, we have been working really hard to, you know, get more funding and to support a new generation of Sami filmmakers, and which we now really are seeing rising up to, you know, the both the international film scene, but also like here at TIFF, it's a record number of Sami feature length Sami films premiering at the festival now.
And so we've got several, and also I was at the festival last year, and I had the pleasure of watching some pitches, which now are actually premiering in, well, not premiering, because I think Toronto was the first.
Yes.
So that film is called?
Well, it's called Tundra Within Me, Ello Gerdu, by director Sara Margrethe Oskal, which is one of the films that premiered internationally at the Toronto International Film Festival, alongside Suvi West's documentary, Homecoming, and also Katja Gaurilov's Jevida, which is a Skolt Sami story from the Finnish side of our...
And the concerns and the sort of stories that are being portrayed are very diverse in the Sami community. You have a love story here, and in documentaries you have other sort of issues being addressed. I remember last year there was a political story was being, it wasn't a documentary, but documented, if you like.
Yeah, so if you look at the Sami film history, it's quite short, and it started with Nils Gaup's Pathfinder in 1987, which was like a ancient story, Sami story, and it was nominated for an Academy Award at that time. And then since that, we've had a few Sami feature films along the way up until today, which all in some way have been, you know, looking back in time, historical in some way, because we have a long story of colonialization and assimilation and many, many stories to tell in that regard. But what we are seeing now with the new generation is that our stories are like catching up to our time, our present time, which is really exciting. And then we see the diversity of stories. So we have a love story where it's not so much, anyway, even though it's still, you know, from a reindeer herding community, but still the focus is on, you know, human story. It's about love and pain and, you know, where we can be humans also, not just fighting for our, you know, rights. And and also there is a youth feature film coming later this year, Egil Pedersen. There is a drama series going into production with NRK, the national broadcaster here in Norway, which is called The Wedding Party, A Countdown to Disaster, which is like a dark comedy. And
I saw the pitch for that last year.
Yeah, you did. And I am so much looking forward to that. I think it will be really, really great. So it's really great to see this, the richness in our story. So it's not just one single story about the Sami, about... not only about reindeer herding, even though it's such a essential part of our culture, but, you know, we are also humans, and to get those close human emotional stories is also really, really beautiful.
And are you looking, I mean, it must be a balancing act to want to represent your communities in their local, you know, integrity, but also to speak in a certain way which is going to break out into an international audience. Do you find that balancing act difficult, or are you hopeful that that's something that you're going to have in your future going forward?
Well, I actually think that, at least as we experience, or I experience, that especially maybe internationally now, there is a some kind of thirst for different kind of stories. Mm. There's so much focus about diversity, inclusion, representation, the other voices, the other stories. And so in that sense, it's I think every story has to come from an authentic place, from an authentic heart. And that's how you can reach anybody's hearts, no matter where, as long as it's, you know, about human beings. And so I'm not so worried about that. And I see that, for example, our filmmakers are really brave also, even though the Sami culture, it's a small, we are a small people, maybe 100,000 altogether. So it's a small community where, you know, tight family connections.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I see our filmmakers as very brave in their storytelling, like this drama series I mentioned, which is like a dark comedy balancing, like on the edge of what would be acceptable. And so, and also like Tundra Within Me, for example, the main character, the male the reindeer herder guy. He's not a professional actor.
Mm.
He's a reindeer herder, and he hasn't been acting before. And you know, this is a very intimate love story. And he's a married man, but still, he had the courage to take on that role. And I was just talking to him this morning, and he said he really had to discuss this with his wife. Is this is it okay? I'm you know, doing this, and you should read the script. And the wife said, no, don't worry, just do it. And you know, so people are also really brave, and I'm very proud and so happy about that.
Watching the film at the press screening, I was also thinking about some real practical difficulties the Sami have in filmmaking. You're at extremely low temperatures. The light, which is hugely important for any filmmaker, is you know, very precious, and it's you're not getting much of it in the winter, obviously, almost none of it in the winter. Mm. How do you manage to get over those difficulties?
Well, I'm really happy. I can sit in my warm office at the Sami Film Institute, and the filmmakers are out there freezing. I don't have to go there. No, but, you know, it's really it's a skill.
Mm.
It's about knowing how to dress and how to... you know, you can be miles away from the... from the center, and you don't have any electricity, and you have to know how to dress, and you know, no electricity, and so it's really expertise.
Mm.
And I don't think anybody can just come and do that easily. So that's the positive side of having, you know, local Sami people who know the environment and can know how to survive no matter temperatures or weather or
everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And finally, I wanted to ask for our listeners if you would suggest or recommend a cinematic work for them to sort of be introduced to Sami cinema. Where would you start?
Well, I think I would start where we all started, which is Pathfinder, even though it's a classic movie, and it stands in time, even today, because it's an ancient story and it's beautifully made. And so that could be a good introduction. And then, of course, look, you know, watching some of our new films, like, for example, Tundra Within Me or Jevida, or any of the films coming out now this year from our incredible filmmakers. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh. How was that?
So nice.
To highlight as well a couple of Norwegian films or films from the north which were highlighted in the festival. The first one is The Gullspang Miracle, which is a film directed by Maria Fredriksson, and it is a documentary which is truly surprising. It's one of those stories of a family that has in some ways been lost, separated, and then put together again by history and chance and various developments, which I don't really want to go into, because the surprise and the revelations which happen during the film are so delightful and so crazy and shocking, and it is a film that's well worth discovering. So if you have it on your radar, if it comes through a streaming or appears in a theater near you, if a distributor picks it up, then The Gullspang Miracle is well worth watching. It's certainly a film that I think will break through and appear on the international stage. It's just got such a wonderful cast of eccentric characters. It reminded me a little bit of an American movie, if you know that film. It's really all you need to do when you find certain characters is they seem to have been waiting for a documentary to turn up and be made about them. And yet at the same time, they're almost the opposite of cinema. It's an amazing, amazing film, well worth watching if you have the opportunity. Another documentary which is coming out of Norway is a film called Ibelin. This movie was an incredibly moving portrait of a young man who has multiple disabilities and a fatal disease which causes his muscles to waste and sees him confined to a wheelchair, able to communicate in a limited way, able to participate in life in a relatively limited way, and also with the knowledge that his life is going to be a short and painful one. Upon his death, his parents discover that he actually does have a community of friends, which he has gained via an online character called Ibelin, and the community that he finds in the game The World of Warcraft. And that is a film which really tells you something about a little bit different about the use of technology. You know, we're so used to seeing these films in which technology is a form of alienation. It's interesting to see a film in which technology does the opposite, actually brings people together and makes people and makes people's lives better ultimately. Ibelin was directed by Benjamin Ree. And finally, the film that I wanted to highlight as coming from a Norwegian, another film of a totally different nature, coming from a Norwegian director, Christopher Borgli's Dream Scenario. Now, if you know Christopher Borgli at all, you'll know him from the film Sick of Me, which showed, I think it was at Cannes about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. This film was noticed by many studios. I think A24 came up to him and gave him an offer, a blank check more or less. What do you want to do? We want to work with you. And he had this script already in the bag, already written, and he said, this is what I want to do. And this is a fantastic film. It boasts a performance from Nicolas Cage, which will make you repent the fact that he's decided to retire, because it just shows the true breadth this film actor has managed to achieve throughout his very long career. And it's so interesting. It has a sort of Charlie Kaufman, Spike Jonze, Michel Gondry-esque high concept, a man who starts to appear in other people's dreams and what happens to him, and talks about the nature of reality and fantasy. But it manages to do things which are totally unexpected with that concept and go in directions which are both satirical and humorous. Both satirical and humorous? Are those two things that different? I don't know. What am I talking about? Maybe. What I mean is, I guess, and in fact, actually, there is a little bit of satire in there, which is probably the weakest part of the film. I prefer it as a more sort of philosophical, you know, like Tarkovsky talking about the room in Stalker. You know, it's you get what you wished for, but you don't know what you really wish for until you get it. And then you don't know if they'll make you happy. So even the discovery of what it is you want to wish for might itself be a disaster, a catastrophe for your life. But regardless of that, this is a film that is coming out and is just well worth watching. It's a real intelligent, clever piece of cinema. It looks great and it's got a wonderful performance. So at its heart, it comes highly recommended.
My name is Lisa Hoen, and I'm the festival director of Tromsø International Film Festival, but I'm also the program director.
So you have two major roles in the festival.
Yeah.
And how is it this year? What is happening this year, which is particularly new in Tromsø?
I think what's particularly new in Tromsø? Actually, to be honest, this is a festival where we are doing exactly what we're good at doing, and that is presenting films. And we don't have, sometimes we have a lot of extra venues, like like event screenings and things like that. And we have some of that, but in venues we used already. So we haven't really, like, for example, new venues. What is new is we have new stuff in the industry program, like a collaboration with NRK. We have Sami Films Rising, a follow-up from last year, because what's really special, I think, in general, is that the Sami film industry is really rising and developing. And there are so many good Sami directors now, and we also have a collaboration with the International Sami Film Institute, and they have done a great job for many years now. They have spent a lot of time building this up. So maybe that's actually what's new, that we have the Norwegian premiere on 3 Sami feature-length films. I mean, it doesn't exist that many Sami films at all. I think it's like 6 feature films, fiction, with Sami directors. So this is, in a way, number 7 and 8. And we also have the Finnish Sami documentary, Homecoming. And all these films were actually also presented in Toronto.
Right, so the Sami are sort of breaking out into an international audience as well. I mean, they're international per se.
Yeah, but definitely. So this is very good. We're really happy about that.
You mentioned that you said your role is also chief programmer. You're sort of coming at the end of the sort of festival season, just before the Berlin Alley. So you get a prime position to pick the best of the festivals that have been out. What are sort of particular favourites have you had that you've managed to land?
This year, one of my favourites is Four Daughters.
Right.
Yeah, La Permanente in Cannes. I really love this film. Another favourite, also from Cannes, is About Dry Grasses, Turkish film, which I think is really like a masterpiece, and that really is a film. It's a little bit challenging film, and you have to like...
This is Nuri Bilgelan's film?
Yeah, and it's really a film that make you think afterwards. And another film I really like is All of Us Strangers, the British film.
I just saw that this morning, Andrew Haig film.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful, mysterious film.
I've just been arguing on Twitter with Guy Lodge from Variety about when exactly The Power of Love was Christmas number one, because of the age of the character.
Yes, and, yes.
I think it was 1984, and Guy is saying 1987. So.
Oh, okay, because I really remember that song also from, you know, my youth, but I don't remember the exact year.
Yeah,
but it was played at the, you know, the first like dance parties we had when I was growing up.
Absolutely, it's so much a film about how the 80s are different to the present day, right?
Yeah.
And when you're looking at the festivals, I mean, I noticed that when I say sort of best of the festivals, it isn't really like that, because I think you do try to find maybe films that haven't necessarily, you know, you're not just taking the most popular films. You're also trying to find some stuff that maybe hasn't had as good an airing as it deserves, right?
Yeah, that's what we're trying. I mean, we try to find, we know that our audience, they like to be challenged. So we know that we can select films that have used time a lot, that are slow cinema. They are ready for almost everything, our audience, so we're so lucky. And this is, you know, an audience that has been, we have, you know, spent 35 years building it up. And I think maybe that's the best with our festival, is the audience, and that they are so open. I mean, during the TIFF week, they are ready for everything, actually. And for example, one interesting, weird, strange film we have on the program is Delinquents, the Argentinian film, which is...
Excellent movie.
Yeah, more than 3 hours long. And when I watched it, the first thing I thought was, I have to watch it again to see, you know, what actually happened and who were who. And yeah, so it has a lot of... interesting small little details.
It's a slow burn bank heist that goes for 3 years, more or less.
Yes, and they also say something about like, what is important? Is it time or is it money or how you spend, I don't know, your time in a way? What's important?
It becomes sort of philosophical, really.
Yeah,
no, wonderful film, wonderful film. And you've got a special guest this year coming for the masterclass, Ethan Cohen. I mean, that's quite a coup to pull off.
Yeah, we've been working with that for several years now. And it's our friend and colleague, Kalim Aftab, who knows him.
A friend of the podcast. He's been on the podcast a couple of times.
Yes. And Kalim is, we are working a lot with Kalim. He's a little bit also a mentor for me, actually, personally, and as, you know, a festival director. And Kalim knows Ethan and Tricia from way back, And he, so is this is a long story, but he, the thing is, Kalim was posting photos from Tromsø in his Instagram, and Tricia Cook, who's married to Ethan Cohen, she wrote, "Oh, where is this? I would love to go there." And after that, yeah, we have been inviting them.
The hook was in, and he was just reeling them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's been, you've shown a series of their films in, I think, 35mm was the Hutsuka Proxy, I think, and a series of their films in great prints. I mean, it's so good to see those films in retrospect as well.
Yeah, it is. I rewatched a lot of them now lately, and I just realized, for example, Marge in Fargo. I mean, she's one of the best film characters ever. I mean, she's so cool. And, you know, they made this film a long time ago, and I was like, oh, it's quite feminist, actually. I mean, this character. A pregnant, you know, detective.
Absolutely.
She's like not afraid of anything. She's just solving the problems.
Absolutely. I see, there's a Martin Amis book called The War Against Cliché, and it always seems like their films are the wars against cliché, because any type of film they address, they seem to knock down those clichés and give you something totally new.
Yeah.
And as you say, like, a high point of many people's careers, acting careers, happen in those Coen brothers films.
Definitely. And also, I think, in Big Lebowski, this, the dude, I mean, this character, when I watched it again now, I was like, it's, you know, the way he dresses and the way he sits in the car, and it's like, I don't know, it's, and the way everything just happens to him, like, coincidentally, he's like not really doing anything. Yeah, it's fascinating.
It is, absolutely. And so finally, what are you looking forward to in the sort of last, where we're talking now, about halfway through the festival, so you're looking forward, I imagine, to the big party at the end.
We love the big party we have at the end. Our goal is to have the best party in Tromsø every year, so that's what we're trying to achieve. We have like a lot of different bands. We even are going to have a silent film concert with the Danish classic The Abyss, with Charlotte Bendixen. She's an electronic musician. She has composed for this film, and you can actually watch the film and dance at the same time in the party. And I'm of course looking forward to the masterclass with Ethan Cohen and Tricia Cook. And what else? Yeah, I look forward really to the premiere of Ibelin, the Norwegian film by Benjamin Ree, who also made The Artist and the Thief. And this documentary is really a mind-blowing story about, what can I say, the positive things that technology and the digital world can give to a human being's life. Because it's about a multi-disabled person who his parents they think that he's not doing anything, that he doesn't have any friends. And through the game World of Warcraft, he has experienced so many things in his life. So this is really a fascinating story.
That's wonderful. I'm going to go and see that tomorrow at the press screening, so I'm really looking forward to that. Well, thank you, Lisa, so much for talking to us, and good luck with the rest of the festival.
Thank you.
Excellent. So
that...
See? It's easy.
And so, as you heard, Ethan Cohen was in Tromsø as well, and I wanted to ask him about something which could possibly relate to Writers on Film, so I would be able to include a snippet of it here. And so I talked to him about his short story collection, Gates of Eden, which goes all the way back, I don't know, mid-90s, I think, more than 25 years old, certainly. And I've included that excerpt here. The rest of the interview will be available via The Times in the coming weeks. So if you enjoy that, keep an eye out for my full interview.
Way back when, I was in Cumbria and I read your short story collection, The Gates of Eden.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, this is going to be great because we're going to have someone who's making movies and we're going to have a lot, you know, literary output as well. But you... After that, it was like a collection of poetry.
Yeah.
I want more.
So nice of you to say. And your point is, why am I slacking off?
Exactly. You said you're retiring. Well, okay. I want the great American novel.
Yeah. That's true. I've written a couple of stories since that collection, but that collection was, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. But nice of you to inquire where they've gone.
Don't you have a whole collection at home? That's what I was sort of hinting,
no.
Maybe, no?
No, I kind of dropped that, and you know what? It almost synchronizes with, I started writing plays. I've written a few plays, so maybe that's where that went. I don't know, conservation of something. Yeah.
It's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.